910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston in Pyongyang. The welcome ceremony for Russian President Vladimir Putin, who is visiting North Korea, thanking leader Kim Jong-un for his support in the ongoing invasion of Ukraine. An early scorcher this summer from Missouri through Maine, record high temperatures in June. It was election day for some on Tuesday, including in Virginia, where Eugene Vindman, a key witness in the first Trump impeachment trial, won the Democratic primary for the Commonwealth's 7th congressional district.
My message is going to remain consistent. I'm a centrist. I've always been middle of the road. I spent 25 years in the Army.
Congressman Bob Good, chair of the Hard Right Freedom Caucus, locked in a tight race with State Senator John McGuire in Virginia's 5th District. McGuire has the support of Donald Trump. The Edmonton Oilers won Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final last night. And lots of folks today remembering the great Willie Mays, who died Tuesday at the age of 93. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Donald Trump tells a rally in Wisconsin Tuesday that he wants to be the law and order president.
I will be the president for law-abiding Americans, every background, every walk of life, every race, religion, color, and creed. I'll be the president.
Trump was convicted of 34 felonies in a recent hush money trial. Trump campaigned in Racine. Wisconsin's Supreme Court will hear a challenge to Governor Evers' 400-year school funding increase. Evers used his line-item veto to make changes that give Wisconsin schools a per-pupil funding boost for the next four centuries. Wisconsin governors have sweeping veto powers, but the courts have put limits on striking single words or letters. Justices announced Monday that they will take the case. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers win with a spectacular catch. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 6-3 victory over the Angels. Down by three, the Angels' Taylor Ward took the ball deep to center field, but there was Sal Frelick to take it in on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
It's the 1-2 pitch. That ball's driven deep right center field. Frelick is there. He leaps, and he makes the catch! Oh, my goodness! What a play!
Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
It's interesting. We had a conversation in outfield for the game. I talked to two of their players. They were doing a drill. Let me ask you guys something. Is it me or we've had more robbed home runs this year than ever in the existence of the game? And they're like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, yes, we have too. And then the game ends like this tonight.
And Willie Mays has died. In his first ever at bat, Mays hit a home run off Braves pitcher Warren Spahn. He was named to the All-Star team 24 times. Willie Mays was 93. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because feeling full can sound like this.
How did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
And like this.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project!
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations!
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in for a special hump day edition of the Devil's Advocates radio show. Crude and I will get over our Shark Week hangover in one day.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman, starting the day with some showers and thunderstorms, then becoming mostly sunny with a high near 72. For tonight, an isolated shower possible, otherwise clouds and a low of 50. Showers and thunderstorms Thursday, a high near 71. Friday, showers and storms in 72.
It's 64 at our studios.
Matt Nair on air.
I've never played this game. Uno is great because kids can play against adults without being overmatched, and adults can play it together and still have fun.
Robert from McFarland flipped a table during an Uno game.
Maybe this is why I don't play these games.
Oh, I would love to play Uno with you.
You want to have an Uno fest?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
We could, like, have an Uno fest for charity or something?
That'd be cool.
Matt Nair on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Happy Juneteenth, Wisconsin. I'll be joined by Reggie Jackson, former griot of the American Black Holocaust Museum, award-winning author and Wisconsin historian. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Well, hopefully you're going to find a little pep in your step for a Wednesday, getting a little bit of a break from some of the heat and humidity. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. Welcome in. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Of course, our hardworking farm families all across the state have been putting in overtime trying to take care of their livestock. Maybe a little bit of a break today. We're looking for daytime highs touching out around 82 degrees. There is still a chance that we could see some showers or thunderstorms, but most of those are going to develop after 5 o'clock this afternoon for La Crosse and Madison. I think Milwaukee, it looks like you might stay dry. Again, daytime highs today in the low 80s along the lake shore, the upper 70s. Now, tonight is when the dynamics start to change. Could get a little bit more rain as far as measurements concerned. Could also see a shower or pop-up thunderstorm that happens after 7 o'clock. Then showers back in the forecast on Thursday. Could be measurable as far as rainfall is concerned. Friday, another 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the forecast. Have to remember, we're not done with June dairy events either. For example, this weekend, we've got the Fond du Lac County Dairy Breakfast that's going to be happening on Saturday at the Abel Dairy Farms in Eden. We've also got Calumet County Fairgrounds hosting Sunday on a dairy farm. Juneau County Dairy Breakfast is going to be at Schultz Park in Elroy on Saturday. So a lot of different things that are still going to try to capitalize on your attention for the weekend. You want to find out about those dairy events, go to wisconsindairy.org. Stephanie Hoff reminds us that flies can be a bad problem at this time of the year on our Wisconsin farms. How can you mitigate that? I'm talking with a beef producer from Rock County that just returned from South Korea and Japan, talking about U.S. beef and what consumers there are looking about. Those are just a few of the stories we'll be sharing with you on a Wednesday.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. And remember, if you don't enter, you can't win. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Lely Center Monroe is hosting an open house on June 26th in Blanchardville at Farron Grunenfelder's farm. From 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., attendees will see Lely milking robots and the Lely Juno feed pusher in action. They will also be treated to a free lunch and gelato provided by Lucky Cow and will be entered to win a Lely Luna Cow brush. So make plans to attend the Lely Center Monroe open house in Blanchardville on June 26th. Full details on Facebook at Lely Center Monroe.
Last week, I was at the 95th Wisconsin State FFA Convention, and I made an adventure backstage to catch up with the National FFA President. I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire. After her keynote address, I went backstage to catch up with the National FFA President, Amara Jackson. She's from Michigan, but we talked a lot about how you prep to be a national officer and how many miles she's put on.
So we go through about 2.5 months of training throughout the winter months. And during December specifically, we spend a lot of time talking about the roles of a national officer and some of those characteristics. And I remember going into that training being like, oh, I'm so excited. I like know what a national officer is. They told me I'm one now. And so I just felt really excited to learn those traits and those characteristics and some of those skills that I could build on. And so honestly, that first month of training in December, diving deep into that curriculum was really helpful for me. And I still look back on the notes as I'm 7 months in now to reference that.
Well, from preparing you to go out and, I'd say, meet your public, because your public has grown this last year to over 1 million members nationwide, you've had some experiences out there. Can you give me some highlights of that first 7 months?
For sure. So a big experience back in the end of January was we took an international trip to Japan. We spent about 2 weeks there, and we met with FFJ, which is Future Farmers of Japan, you know, very similar to FFA. And we met those students. We also did multiple agriculture tours. So we did a radish farm tour. We went to a factory that builds tea leaf pickers. We went to a grain storage facility. And actually, when we were there, they had a ship that was filled with grain from Louisiana. So that was really cool to see our trade like come full circle in Japan. And that trip was a wonderful experience. And then after that, we kicked off our big travel season, which is where we begin going to state conventions, just like this one here at Wisconsin. So this is my 7th state convention, and I've been anywhere from Alaska to Alabama, now up here to Wisconsin, and Michigan was dabbled in there as well. And in between that time, we also go to conferences. So I was in Texas a couple weeks ago for their state leadership conference, which was a blast. And looking forward, we'll begin doing camps throughout the summer, and chapter visits are winding down because school is done, so we'll continuing mixing and mingling with those students, and then we've also been doing sponsor visits, so we connect with our corporate sponsors as well.
And now you've been to 7 different conventions. FFA does not look the same.
No, they do not. And the membership is very different size-wise. So in Alaska, they have a total of like 300 students. And then here in Wisconsin, they just announced that they have just over 29,000 students. So it's very fascinating seeing the vast difference. But between the membership difference, population size, I should say, something that rings very true from state to state is we all have very similar values as FFA members and goals, and we're all very hard workers. And so it's been very interesting to see that despite the size difference, those core values are very similar.
Let's talk a little bit about those SAEs that you've experienced. You're Michigan, Wisconsin. I feel like there'd be some similarities. Alabama, Alaska, what's going on up those two states?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so some similarities as in like your traditional production agriculture, but in Alaska, those students do a lot with fisheries and mariculture. Students do that in Michigan as well, but it's so heavy in how much they're involved in that industry in Alaska. And a lot of those students are learning how to fish and how to work with the water so early on. And then one of my teammates told me a really interesting story about their time over on the East Coast, where those students are lobstering. Like, how cool is that? Like, their SAE is all based on lobstering, catching, releasing, raising like lobsters. And so I find that super fascinating too. I'll be headed to the East here in a couple weeks to Maryland, and so I'm looking forward to seeing what they have to offer as well.
And how many flights have you been on so far?
About 65. I've traveled about 60,000 miles so far.
So you're almost to the gold member status, right?
I hope so. I think I'm getting there.
You've got through a whole bunch of those state conventions. Let's look forward. You're going to have some camps this summer, and then this fall, getting ready for that national convention again.
Yeah, so we have about 4.5 months left in our term, which is crazy to think about. It's flying by. But yeah, so headed to some camps. I'll be with Ohio and then Louisiana, and then we'll begin our preparation for State Officer Summit. So that is an experience for the state FFA officers from all across the country to come to Washington, D.C. to learn about advocacy. And so the National Officer Team runs that conference for them. So we're looking forward to hosting them in D.C. And then after that, we'll begin preparation for National FFA Convention.
I'm going to do a little bit of a deeper dive in advocating for agriculture. What's your specialty and how do you do it?
Me, it's all about building relationships through stories. People remember stories better than they remember facts. And so when you can equip a student to walk into a room with a legislator to tell a story about their experience or another person's experience, you can sell and connect so much more with the idea of the livelihood that we all embrace. And so storytelling is my method.
So you are more than halfway through your year of service. This is something a lot of times I ask at the end, but what have you gotten out of being a national officer?
Mm-hmm. One of the biggest things that I've just been very blessed to receive from this year is a whole lot of genuine human connection. You know, I ran for national office with the idea that I was very passionate about building one-on-one connections with people. I wanted people to feel valued and seen for who they were and where they were at. And as a result of that, I've built some incredible relationships with students, stakeholders, advisors, and all across the country. And as I look back on this year, I have friends in so many different states. And it's all because of that genuine human connection. And that has just been one of the biggest blessings of this year, is to really realize, like, you're not alone, because there's so many people who are around you. You just have to be willing to talk to them.
And I just ask what you've gotten out of this office and this year of service. You've spent some time, you've given a lot of yourself. What was one of those key things that you really wanted to spread about yourself throughout this year?
I wanted students, teachers, stakeholders, everybody who I connect with to know that I am a real person. I make mistakes, I get excited, I still get nervous. I just gave a keynote address here and I still get nervous. Like, I am a genuine, authentic person that someone can walk up to and tell a story to, or they can share a frustration with. I wanted people to know that I'm interested in having those genuine one-on-one connections. And it's been my hope that people have felt that as I've traveled throughout this year.
Your smile really does say it all, and my game plan is getting down to that national convention. Might have to do a few corners and do a little bit of talking, but I'll be interested to see how that all wraps up. And that was the National FFA President, Amara Jackson, from Michigan, here at the 95th Wisconsin State FFA Convention. And I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn, but chatting with you from Madison.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A Pew Research Center report released in late April finds that Americans are frustrated with their federal government and say that elected officials don't care about what people like them think. U.S. adults were surveyed in 2023 as part of a poll conducted since 1994. In the early 2000s, 55% agreed with the statement that elected officials don't care about what people like me think. In the most recent survey, that figure is 85%. It's not surprising, then, that 70% of Americans say that ordinary people have too little influence over the decisions members of Congress make, and 73% say lobbyists and special interests have too much influence. 80% see campaign donors as having too much influence. In response to how the political system in the U.S. is working, only 4% said extremely well, 23% said very well, 45% not too well, and 27% not well at all. 59% said they were frustrated with the federal government, 21% said they were angry. Democracy advocates point to ranked choice voting, single ballot open primaries, and small donor public financing of campaigns as ways of refocusing the attention of elected officials on ordinary citizens. RCV and open primary initiatives are on the November ballot in Nevada, Colorado, and Arizona. We've linked the Pew survey at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on this show, the executive director of Block joins us. Angela Lang will be here in hour number two, public service announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Fabulous Farm Bay PM Yankee. This is the Midwest Farm Report. We've talked about this before, but especially now that kids are out. How many of you have already heard, I'm bored or there's nothing to do? Well, on a farm, there's always something to do, and farm families have a tendency to want the kids to be involved in getting chores done, helping with the livestock, things like that. But you have to do it consciously thinking about what those kids can handle. Scott Royce is the Crops and Soils Regional Educator for UW Extension way up in Anago. He is also a tractor safety education teacher, and he says when it comes to operating that farm equipment, we really need to think about who's operating it and what their mental maturity is. He explains the common causes for farm accidents.
Well, certainly some of the more common causes of tractor accidents are, when they're on a roadway at least, are usually inattentive driving or unaware drivers and, you know, differences in speed on when they're on roadways and things like that. So on roadways, it's one set of circumstances. On the farm, tractor accidents, the majority of tractor accidents are usually actually rollovers or as far as where there could potentially be injuries involved.
Yeah, all of them tragic, though. Scott Royce, tractor safety educator up in Anago, and he reminds parents who should be taking those courses.
Now, as far as for those who would need to take a tractor and machinery safety certification course in Wisconsin, that is, it is set up by law for those who are at least 12 years old, and until they receive their driver's license, then it allows youth in those ages to be able to, depending on their age, to be able to either work on their home farms and utilize farm tractors, or to be able to work for other farms as well.
Scott Royce, again, tractor safety educator up in Anago, but there's a lot of discussion now about, are 12-year-olds mature enough to handle the farm equipment we've got today? If you're handling farm equipment today, I think it's going to be a little bit easier on you. Let's find out. Time for a Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. Stu Muck along with us. Am I baiting them here a little bit, Stu? It looks like it's going to be a little easier on us today.
Well, yeah, yesterday we all got kind of close to 90 or above. Today we could hold in the lower 80s. I guess that's better.
Yeah, definitely. Humidity's still out there.
Oh, yeah, still going to be humid, and there are some rain chances, too. So, you know, we're not done with that. The weather pattern's still very, very much on the active side. A frontal boundary dropping through out of the northwest is this morning providing a little rain. Oh, right about La Crosse, northeast Iowa, just up into west central Wisconsin, if you will. Spartatoma heading a little bit further northwest. That initial wave of rain may pass through. It's more likely a bit later today when that frontal boundary drops right to the southern part of Wisconsin that there could be more storminess. The far southern edge, maybe specifically southeast, could have a little storm problem here later today. I'll have forecast details right after this.
I really love the change-up I'm seeing at Bavaria Sausage. Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke reminding you, shop online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, BavariaSausage.com, or better yet, let your nose lead you to the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. Bavaria Sausage, more expanded hours. Their retail location open now Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturdays 9 until 1. And like I said, let your nose lead you. The old world flavors are in the air. And if it's time for a brat fry, they'll be outdoors sharing those smells and those flavors. And I like the change up there, too. They're featuring different brats, different sausages every time they hold that event. Follow them on social media to find out for the next scheduled brat fry. And like I said, the old world flavor stays intact, but be sure to pay attention to new flavors being offered all the time. Bavaria Sausage, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. Alrighty, Stu, let's have that forecast. Brat fry might be a possibility today.
Well, yeah, there's definitely a chance for that. I'd say we'll call it partly sunny. That rain in the west this morning may hold on for a time, could fall apart. Some redevelopment later today, almost anywhere from west to east in the state. Temperature is still pretty mild. Upper 70s in the northwest, more likely in the 80s further south. And winds will gradually turn west and northwest through the day as that front goes through 5 to 10. Mostly cloudy, could be a shower or storm in the south tonight, ending from the north in the low and mid 60s. And tomorrow, still some clouds, showers, could be a thunderstorm or two, redevelop and spread from west to east in the low and mid 70s. And by Friday, partly sunny, still a little scattered rain, especially later in the day, and in the mid-80s, Pam, with the south breezes at 5. Not overly windy, and that threat of severe weather pretty small for most of the state, at least today and tomorrow.
That's all right. That's okay. I'll take a little bit of a break, and we'll see what's going to kind of come our way later this week, huh?
Yeah, it will get warm and sticky once again.
That's what I was afraid of. All right, buddy. Very good. Thank you. Catch up with you tomorrow.
All right, see you then.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist with your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. Compure Financial is your partner when it comes to agriculture and rural America. Find out more and great resources available online right now. Go to Compure.com and check it out.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Inc. radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian, do you buy your tickets on Ticketmaster?
Whether I want to or not, I do.
Fella Devan. We're going to talk a little bit about monopolies.
Live Nation and Ticketmaster together control 80% of the primary ticketing market. They have the market power to bully people into submission. And then you trap the consumers into basically having to pay like junk fees that are basically created to create profit for the company.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's, like, testosterone and overload and whatever they, you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston in Pyongyang. The welcome ceremony for Russian President Vladimir Putin, who is visiting North Korea, thanking leader Kim Jong-un for his support in the ongoing invasion of Ukraine. An early scorcher this summer from Missouri through Maine, record high temperatures in June. It was election day for some on Tuesday, including in Virginia, where Eugene Vindman, a key witness in the first Trump impeachment trial, won the Democratic primary for the Commonwealth's 7th congressional district.
My message is going to remain consistent. I'm a centrist. I've always been middle of the road. I spent 25 years in the Army.
Congressman Bob Good, chair of the Hard Right Freedom Caucus, locked in a tight race with State Senator John McGuire in Virginia's 5th District. McGuire has the support of Donald Trump. The Edmonton Oilers won Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final last night. And lots of folks today remembering the great Willie Mays, who died Tuesday at the age of 93. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Donald Trump tells a rally in Wisconsin Tuesday that he wants to be the law and order president.
I will be the president for law-abiding Americans, every background, every walk of life, every race, religion, color, and creed. I'll be the president.
Trump was convicted of 34 felonies in a recent hush money trial. Trump campaigned in Racine. Wisconsin's Supreme Court will hear a challenge to Governor Evers' 400-year school funding increase. Evers used his line-item veto to make changes that give Wisconsin schools a per-pupil funding boost for the next four centuries. Wisconsin governors have sweeping veto powers, but the courts have put limits on striking single words or letters. Justices announced Monday that they will take the case. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers win with a spectacular catch. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 6-3 victory over the Angels. Down by three, the Angels' Taylor Ward took the ball deep to center field, but there was Sal Frelick to take it in on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
It's the 1-2 pitch. That ball's driven deep right center field. Frelick is there. He leaps, and he makes the catch! Oh, my goodness! What a play!
Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
It's interesting. We had a conversation in the outfield for the game. I talked to two of their players. They were doing a drill. Let me ask you guys something. Is it me or we've had more robbed home runs this year than ever in the existence of the game? And they're like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, yes, we have too. And then the game ends like this tonight.
And Willie Mays has died. In his first ever at bat, Mays hit a home run off Braves pitcher Warren Spahn. He was named to the All-Star team 24 times. Willie Mays was 93. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, singing duo 7,000 Apart joins me in studio as they prepare for their big appearance at Summerfest. And comedian Mike Siegel joins to discuss 80s TV shows.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman, starting the day with some showers and thunderstorms, then becoming mostly sunny with a high near 72. For tonight, an isolated shower possible, otherwise clouds and a low of 50. Showers and thunderstorms Thursday, a high near 71. Friday, showers and storms in 72.
It's 64 at our studios.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now I know, now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy. Today's work money word is diversification. That's a word that gets bandied about quite a bit when people talk about investments. And as snooty as it sounds, a simple way to think about diversification is not having all of your eggs in one basket. Diversification reduces the risk of everything going badly. For example, if one person has all their money invested in the stock of one company, and another has her money invested in an index fund that's invested in dozens or hundreds of companies, well, one of those two people is at serious risk of being wiped out by a single event. And the other has an investment that historically does better than single stock investments and is more protected from the ups and downs of the market. It's the smartest and safest way for almost all of us to invest our money. For more tips on money, head to workmoney.org. This is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's, like, testosterone and overload and whatever, testosterone.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
This broad reaching, well, we can't help people because we can't control how they spend the money, somehow magically doesn't apply to billionaires, doesn't apply to corporations who dodge their taxes every year. The only people who are subject to the conservative morality police are poor people. How dare you?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Yeah, thanks for letting me know what day of the week it is. It's Juneteenth today. Markets are closed for this federal holiday. That means your bank is probably closed. Don't expect to get any business done at the U.S. Department of Agriculture offices. They're all closed. Let me make sure I'm giving you correct information about all of our June dairy events that are coming up this weekend. So Saturday, why don't you think about the Racine County Breakfast on the Farm. The Racine County Breakfast on the Farm happening in Burlington at the Shawl Dairy Farm. I happen to know those folks. They are wonderful hosts. Looking forward to showing you their 400-cow dairy operation. Racine County Breakfast on the Farm this Saturday, Shawl Dairy Farm in Burlington. Vernon County has their dairy breakfast happening in Viroqua on Saturday. Pittsville FFA and FFA alumni having their Saturday June dairy breakfast in Pittsville. Then on Sunday is when Fond du Lac County's got their breakfast on the farm at the Abel Dairy Farms just off of 41-141. Sunday on a dairy farm at the Calumet County Fairgrounds in Chilton. Sunday, the Juneau County Dairy Breakfast happening at Schultz Park in Elroy. That's a hopping community. The Elroy Fair is also underway, beginning officially today. You'll want to find those dairy events and all the details. Go to wisconsindairy.org. And if you're looking for county fair activities, wifairs.com will get you there. Wifairs.com. I'm Pam Yonke. Welcome to the Midwest Farm Report. So today is the 19th day of June. What can I tell you? On this day in 1986, Milwaukee's airport goes international. General Mitchell Airport in Milwaukee was renamed General Mitchell International Airport. It reflected the presence of customs on site as well as the airport's expansions. That happened on this day back in 1986. On this day in 1978, Garfield the Lazy Cat makes his debut. First Garfield comic strip by Jim Davis happened in 41 newspapers on this day back in 1978. It currently holds the Guinness World Record for the world's most widely syndicated comic strip. Happened on this day back in 1978. And happy birthday to dancer, actress, judge Paula Abdul, 62 years young on this Wednesday. And now you know. It's a Wednesday. That means it's time for us to catch up with our friends from the Steffes Group, steffesgroup.com, or if you want to give them a call, perfect time to do that, 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Ashley Hune from the Steffes Group along with us. Ooh, hot, steamy week, no matter where you are around the upper Midwest. Boy, that makes this online auction business a whole lot more attractive than standing with a number in my sweaty hand out someplace, doesn't it, Ashley?
Yeah, that's very true. So, like, for instance, even today, right now at 11 a.m., we're selling a nice line of John Deere late model equipment that's right in our yard in Litchfield. So, again, late model tractors, and it does have a 9900i chopper with a head on there. So take a look at that. But we are doing a live auction on Friday, so keep that in mind. We don't get to do them very often anymore. We sure have fun doing it, but rain or shine, we'll be out at the Schulte Brothers on Friday.
Right, right. And we want to remind folks that the auction catalogs are available online in case they want to take a look at what's even coming farther out. And you've got another big one. What is that, a two-day sale next week?
Yeah, so next Tuesday, we sold the cattle at the Minutia River Dairy. Now we're going to sell the equipment and we've kind of split it up into two parts. So the major equipment is going to be on one ring at 1 o'clock, and then all the small support equipment, pallets and things like that, that one is at 2 o'clock.
All right. Again, folks, if you ever want to see details about any of the auctions that Ashley refers to, be it a live auction or something online, just go to steffesgroup.com, steffesgroup.com. And like we said, the catalogs are out now, too, if you want to kind of get a grasp on the volume of business you've got coming up, huh, Ashley?
Oh, it's crazy. This is such a busy month here in June. It's unprecedented, to be honest with you.
Really? Why do you say that?
You know, just looking back at history and what we've done over the years, doing 70 auctions in 1 month here in June, the volume is definitely up, you know, and maybe it has something to do with the market because it is changing. It is going down a little bit, but, you know, the sellers want to be on the front side of that, not the back side.
Well, and the other thing, I wondered about the folks that are discovering how partnering with the Steffes Group makes life a little easier. I mean, like you said, you've got a lot of bigger John Deere dealerships, bigger implement dealerships overall that turn to you guys to make things go smoothly.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a reason we're doing the volume it is, and it's because of our reach. And, of course, if you're going to sell, you want to sell in a position where there are more buyers for a better price. And that's plain and simple that way.
Yeah, like you said, if you're thinking about an auction, now is probably a good time to start inquiring, get your name on the list, start looking at your dates, because the more time you give yourself, the better the results are likely to be. Ashley Hewn along with us from the Steffes Group. Again, their website with that downloadable auction catalog available right now, steffesgroup.com, steffesgroup.com. And of course, pick up the phone. We know how personal an auction is for you and your family. 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Ashley Hewn along with us from the Steffes Group.
Wisconsin soybean growers have lots of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
They believe in protecting the families and children in our farming communities. Kids love to be included in the daily farm activities, but accidents can happen quickly. Reduce the chance of injury by making sure your farm is a safe environment for adults and kids. Learn more at ruralmutual.com.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Boy, they had over 1,000 attendees, congressional and Senate leaders, as well as their staff at the 40th annual Capitol Hill Ice Cream Party. It was in Washington, D.C. at Union Square Park, just across or in front of the U.S. Capitol. They served more than 950 gallons of ice cream, 1,200 ice cream novelties, 32 ice cream cakes during the event. I want to draw attention to the dairy industry. It was hosted by the International Dairy Foods Association. Well, I wish they would have made a bigger dent in dairy, because dairy had a little tough day on Tuesday. Barrel cheese dropped 6 cents to 194. 40-pound block cheese was down 5.5 at 186. Double A butter, that stood still, unchanged at 310 and 3/4 per pound. Now, remember, again, today the markets are closed. Yesterday in Chicago, the July milk that goes into cheese dropped 56 cents to 1961. August Class 3 milk dropped 42 cents, closed at 2030. The December new crop corn yesterday finished up 4.75 cents to 4.67 3/4. November new crop soybeans were up 1.75 cents at 11.32. July new crop wheat, that actually finished down 9.5 cents at 5.82 a bushel. The Dairy Business Association has announced that they are going back to Green Bay for their Dairy Strong 2025. That conference routinely attracts about 400 attendees representing more than 280,000 cows. Headed back to the KI Center in Green Bay, January 15th through the 16th, 2025.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports. It's official. Governor Tony Evers proclaims this June is Pride Month in Wisconsin. But did you know the state has a long history of activism alongside LGBTQ plus communities and allies? The Civic Media Radio Network supports the impact and celebrations and is sharing thoughtful stories all month long.
Bob Neal and Edgar Hellum fell in love in the 1930s. But they also fell in love with Mineral Point, Wisconsin, where they worked together to rescue and restore buildings set to be demolished. The gay couple gave Cornish language names to those properties. The best known may be Pendarvis, a piece of history from the mid-1800s when Mineral Point was a lead mining town. Their success during the Great Depression is considered the start of what's turned the area into an art and tourism hub. It's a story of love and preservation, and you can still experience it today thanks to Bob and Edgar. I'm Terry Barr.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's like testosterone and overload and whatever, testosterone.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we come to you live from Baraboo, Wisconsin for Juneteenth. Our friend and colleague Earl Ingram joins us. You don't want to miss it. See you then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
From Rock County, Brady Klatt was one of two Wisconsin producers that represented the Wisconsin Beef Council on a trade mission to South Korea and Japan. Those are big markets for U.S. beef. But, you know, unless you understand your consumer, ultimately the customer, their culture, their economics, you really don't know exactly where the market can go. Well, Brady got a chance to find out firsthand. I talked with him about it, and he explains exactly where they were and the folks that they were introduced to.
Sure. So we started out and we flew into South Korea. We were in Seoul there. We spent 3 days there and then took some time to fly over into Tokyo and spent, you know, 3.5 days there in Tokyo as well. But starting out in South Korea, we did a couple of, you know, restaurant visits to start our trip where we looked at restaurants that are really promoting and placing, you know, signage relative to what they're selling in U.S. beef and some of those various locations and kind of understood how our product is fitting there on the, you know, consumer perspective side. And then from there, we went ahead and did a couple other things. We visited a handful of Costcos, which are really important for importing our U.S. beef into these other countries across the world. And then we also sat down and took some time to visit with the USMEF staff to talk about what they're doing in South Korea and what our opportunities are in the future and how we need to be positioning ourselves there. Then as we flew into Tokyo, we did some similar things, again, visiting Costco and talking with their staff about what they need in the future with importation and how they're wanting to expand some of these foreign markets and our opportunity in the meat case there. as well as talking again with USMEF staff. We also did a lot of different visits at both locations with food service workers, you know, thinking about what they have, particularly like Samsung, their R&D center does a lot with giving their employees meals consistently throughout the week, three meals a day they're offering some employees. And so that's a huge opportunity for us to make sure that we're positioning our beef with them as they're kind of working with some of their employees to get a lot of food moved through their systems. Along the way,
you mentioned that there's a different culture there, not just as far as their heritage, but Samsung and providing up to three meals for their employees. Man, that's a lot of people. We don't see that kind of thing here. What are they offering, though, Brady? That's the other thing you and I talked about. We have a tendency, if you're kind of old school beef, to think about cuts that we don't necessarily use in the United States being the first priority in South Korea or Japan. You said that's really changed, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we kind of view our variety meats, you know, as kind of the prominent products that are shipped over there, and that's not necessarily the truth anymore. They are a huge component of what we're doing, and they do add a lot of value to our carcasses because that's a market, especially like tongue. It's a premium product over there, and that's shipped over there, and our producers are you know, seeing the value in that. But also, you know, it's important for us to understand that they're doing a lot of, you know, importation of many other primals, right? So a lot of like chuck roast or chuck eye roll, which is a big cut over there, is sent over there. And their Korean barbecue is a different style than what we traditionally consume over here. So it's really adding a lot of value throughout the entirety of the carcass, not just those variety meats that we might often think are being sent over that way.
Brady Klatt along with us. If you're just joining us, welcome to Checkoff Chats. It's brought to you courtesy of our beef producers, our dairy producer, and their Checkoff dollars. You can always find out more online, recipes about these trips, about our producers, whatever you need at beeftips.com. Brady, another thing that you really noticed is a different attitude and actually educational needs in both South Korea and Japan. Been a long time since I had to wrap my tongue around bovine spongiform encephalopathy, but there it's still part of conversation, huh?
Yeah, it is a big component of that. I think, you know, part of that would be just the reliance that they have on imported beef, right? So these countries are not fully self-sustainable like we are in terms of beef production, so they do have to get a lot, and accordingly, a lot of that product shipped in. Accordingly, you know, traceability is probably a bigger concern with them rather than what our consumers would be traditionally or currently considering like sustainability kind of being the hot button issue here. So there's a bit of a difference in what they're looking for and what they're wanting when they're picking their beef off the store shelf. So that traceability component, understanding where their product came from and helping our producers position our product and the way we're raising that product is going to be important as we move into the future. And that was something that was pretty prominent, you know, both in Japan and South Korea as we visited with people along the way.
Well, like you said, you walk in their shoes for a little bit, and it helps you better understand why the United States has continued to have some challenges getting our beef product into both Japan and South Korea. Did you get a chance to share your story much, Brady? Did they perk up when they heard how you raise your beef? Because what we do in Wisconsin is a lot different than a feedlot in Kansas, Texas, or Colorado.
Yeah, we got a lot of really good opportunities kind of on a one-on-one basis, but also to present to large groups of individuals importing different types of beef. Myself and Joe Meyer were on the trip, and we got a chance to talk about what we're doing in Wisconsin, in particular focusing on some dairy beef opportunities, product being sent over there from, you know, our dairy beef cross calves, as well as some of these cull cow opportunities are really big over there. So we get a chance to talk about what we're doing in the state of Wisconsin in terms of feeding very high quality forages to these animals, getting good marbling, and then there was actually a taste test as well for some of those dairy beef products. for them to try and understand the opportunity to kind of fit into a different market from a different standpoint relative to price with those products. So we had a lot of good conversations, and it was very enjoyable to talk about what our producers here in the United States are doing to raise a wholesome and nutritious product for overseas export.
Great perspective. Thanks, Brady. Brady Klatt, he is a beef producer from Rock County, Clinton, to be exact, one of two Wisconsin producers that were along on those trade missions to South Korea and Japan, funded in part by Wisconsin Beef Council and Beef Checkoff dollars, as well as a grant from the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Want to find out more? Go to beeftips.com or re-listen to my conversation with Brady Klatt, available now on our podcast playlist, MidwestFarmReport.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinee on Air.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
The start of a series on the status of kids working in agriculture. Today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
A farm can be a wonderful place for children to live and work, but it can also be a dangerous place for that as well. Marcia Salzwedel is with the National Children's Center for Rural and Agricultural Health and Safety in Marshfield, Wisconsin.
We have for a long time known that agriculture is one of the most hazardous work sites in our country, and that you can find children of any age in that work site. We also know that a child dies in ag-related incidents about every 3 days, and every day there's 33 seriously injured children.
Salzwedel says the number of children working in agriculture and related industries is rising.
There's a number of different possible causes for this. We do anticipate that there is an increase in youth numbers in the workforce due to the labor shortages. And we're seeing labor shortages caused by a variety of reasons. The retiring baby boomers, that generation is much larger than the generations that are just starting out working. There are fewer younger workers. There's deaths from COVID-19, and there's more restrictions on immigration as well.
Tomorrow, the status of efforts to legislate more protection for child workers. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, we have our weekly discussions about education and about taking advantage of the opportunities in a cleaner, climate-friendly environment.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Over the past 20 years, Wisconsin has seen a huge increase in reported elder abuse cases. Elder abuse is the verbal, physical, emotional, sexual, or financial abuse of a senior citizen. It can also be the intentional or unintentional neglect of an older person. Wisconsin's population of seniors 65 and older is projected to grow significantly in the coming decades. That's why we all share the responsibility to help protect our seniors by recognizing and reporting any signs of elder abuse. If you believe that elder abuse has been inflicted upon yourself or someone you know, please report it. Call the Wisconsin Elder Abuse Hotline toll-free at 1-833-586-0107 or visit reportelderabusewi.org. Respect our elders. Report abuse. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Justice.
This project is supported by the Administration for Community Living, ACL, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, as part of a financial assistance award totaling $120,000 with 100% funding by ACL HHS. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of nor an endorsement by ACL HHS or the U.S. government.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Say Hey Kids.